Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm so glad you were able to join me. Well, the last few days, we've been looking at some very fascinating tools that God used, if you will, to lead the children of Israel under the Old Covenant. We were talking about these mysterious things called the Urim and the Thummim, and there's not much given at all in Scripture as to what they were, but we do have a number of references that showed they were being used by the high priest as a way of seeking God's will, God's answer in a particular situation, especially in military situations. They would come to seek the Lord. Although it was done on a daily basis, it was a way of getting the mind and the will of God. Now, there are other references which showed the use of the Urim and Thummim. And if you remember, in case you by chance didn't hear previous broadcasts, and of course, if you ever have missed a broadcast or you would like to rehear one, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime to the broadcasts that are archived there. But the actual Hebrew meaning of the words of Urim and Thummim, Urim means lights, fires, and brilliant glows, whereas Thummim means truths, perfections, and completeness. And the Urim lit up. It was in a little pouch behind the breastplate. And if it lit up, it was God was answering in the affirmative. And if there wasn't, then it meant no, he was not giving an affirmative answer. And so no glow meant no go, basically. There are other places in Scripture where we see the Urim used, and that was to divide the promised land into allotments for the tribes. Now, I'm just going to give you references. I won't take the time to read and turn, but in case you're interested, that's Numbers 34 and 17, Joshua 17 and 4, and Joshua 18, 4 through 10. Also, in 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, verses 54 through 65, it was used to determine what cities the Levites would occupy. Also, it was used to determine the order of priestly service due to the large number of priests. We see that in 1 Chronicles, the 24th chapter, verses 5 through 7, and 1 Chronicles 25 and 9. And then, after Joshua's death, it was used for direction concerning the waging of war. We see that in Judges, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2, Judges 20 and 18, and 26 through 28. Now, in Joshua chapter 9, we have an example of things that happen to us when we don't seek the Lord first. In Joshua chapter 9, we see an illustration and an example of a leader, Joshua, not seeking the Lord. And as a result, they had many years of having to deal with the consequences of this situation. In Joshua chapter 9, in fact, if I remember correctly, it was actually Saul who killed the Gibeonites, and much later, several years later, God moved on David because his blessings weren't upon his people, and the Lord revealed that it was because of the lack of keeping their oath. But basically what happened in Joshua 9:15, it says, Joshua made peace with them. They were actual close neighbors, and they had heard what the Israelites were doing, and they didn't want to be exterminated. So they used deception, and they took bread and wine vessels that were old, the bread was moldy, and they appeared to have come a great long distance, and that's what they told the elders and the inhabitants of Israel at that time. And so in verse 15 it says, "And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day." Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephireth and Beareth and Kirjathjearim, and the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. And so, of course, they had to stand by their word, but it's an example of the unnecessary burdens that we bear because we didn't seek the Lord first, and they had not sought the Lord. And as a result, in verse 14 it says, "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." And so Joshua made peace with them. So we don't want to be as Joshua, even though the situation to our natural mind seemed logical. The Gibeonites, they were fearing for their lives, they deceived Joshua, and he was forced to honor a foolish oath that he had presumptuously made. And so we see that it's critically important as believers that we really do seek God, not just in the major important decisions, but in the little day-to-day decisions we make, because sometimes they can have far-reaching implications. All right, we've spent quite a bit of time now looking at how God dealt with his people under the old covenant. What about us now, living today? Does the Urim and Thummim have any significance to New Testament believers in our time and in our day? Well, beloved, the early church walked in the reality of this symbol. They were led by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. For example, at that great conference they had when Paul came and they came to resolve the question of the Gentiles, whether or not they should act according and live according to the Jewish law. In Acts 15 and 28, the word says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So God was leading them and inspiring them with divine wisdom on how to deal with the Gentile church. And beloved, this is a New Testament parallel for the Urim and the Thummim, if you will. Listen to this next verse that I'm going to share with you. It's 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 6. And can you notice the Urim and the Thummim in this verse? "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, if you've been with me the last few days, you know that truth speaks of the Urim, of completeness, of perfection. And to bear witness, that was the function of the Urim. It was spiritual affirmation, if you will. It was an affirmative when it would light up, because it means light, brilliance, a glow. It would actually light up, and that was a way, a very literal way, the high priest could determine God's will. And so the Urim is, if you will, synonymous to the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirits. The Spirit beareth witness. Amen. That's the Urim. And just as there had to be a supernatural brilliancy that the high priest could actually see, so, beloved, there needs to be a clearly supernatural, if we say, a glow in our hearts when we're receiving direction from the Lord. If you've walked with the Lord any length of time, I'm sure you can relate to this. And this giving of supernatural direction is the unique privilege of every child of God. Praise God, it's not just for leaders. Like under the old covenant, it was just specifically for the high priest. Now, every child of God can be led by the Spirit of the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 and 16. So the Spirit beareth witness. That's the Urim, beloved. And some scholars think that the high priest did not necessarily need to look to see if that hidden pouch were glowing, but that he could actually feel the warmth caused by the Urim. And this would make sense. It's plausible, since the root word means fire, Urim does, as well as light and glow. So, beloved, can you identify with that? Have you ever, in times of deep prayer or communion with the Lord, sensed that inner warmth as you talked with the Lord on a certain thought, as you were waiting on Him and seeking His mind, His will? And it's actually deeper than the realms of feeling, and yet one can feel it, one can know it. You just know that you know. It's hard to describe how the Holy Spirit ministers to each and every one of us. But for those of us who have walked with the Lord, and even a very young Christian, I know God led me some very, very clear ways when I was just a baby Christian. And I found, as I've talked to others who were very young in the Lord at a particular time as they're sharing their testimony, in those early days, God was very clear, very pronounced. And as we grow up, there seems to be less and less of that clarity. And we have to be willing to wait on Him more and listen more carefully and be more sensitive. So we see a scripture in Luke 24, this very thing I'm talking about, expressed by the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They said, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way?" Beloved, there's light, there's warmth, there's feeling of joy. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, my time has flown again, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I do hope you can join me. And if you need prayer support, you may be facing some important decisions right now. Yes, what I'm sharing by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will direct you. But beloved, there is a power in agreeing prayer. And as we can pray together, then God can, in a very clear way, let you know what He wants you to do. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.